Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It's been an interesting day up here at Flowery Branch. If you missed what Raheem Morris had to say, stay tuned. It's on the way in less than 10 minutes. Jalen Walker also stopped by today to discuss his season and what's been going on. He did talk a little dogs with us as well. But, Mike, the news of the day is Michael Penix Jr. is going to have season-ending surgery. It's official. That word broke today. And just to get you guys kind of caught up to where we are with everything that's going on, and you'll hear what Raheem has to say about it as well, there was some conflicting reports earlier this afternoon about whether it was going to be reconstructive surgery, which means, you know, again, a more extensive surgery, or – Mike, not as much. And the difference between both of these situations, guys, is recovery time. It's all right. About the timetable. And when you start talking about this stuff, and again, I want to clarify, Mike and I, we're not orthopedic surgeons, but this is what we're seeing and hearing from the various reports about the timeline. And you're talking about a range from 6 to 9 months.
And initially, Mark Romani from ESPN had it from a leaked source that it was going to be a partial reconstruction. And no, it's a partial tear. It's a full reconstruction of the ACL, so he doesn't damage other ligaments and then get right back where he started. So there was initial confusion because, to Carl's point, partial meant, 6 months back means he'll be able to be, you know, it's end of July, he'll be ready to go for camp. Now it's a full ACL construction, which means he will not be ready for Falcons camp and may not be ready to start the season, you know, unless he has a remarkable, you know, a recovery. And remember, guys, there's a full range of this. I think, you know, people always got spoiled when Adrian Peterson came back in, like, what, 7 months?
Always ridiculous.
Because he's also, you know, 2% body fat, and the man's a freak. But, and he had the great training regimen. But, yeah, this is one where Michael Penix Jr.'s had a lot of injuries. And this is another one he's going to have to come back from. And then you get into, not to be Debbie Downer, but just hypothetically, if Kirk Cousins balls out, are you really prepared to take a $57 million cap hit next season to have him on the roster? Because that's going to be something you said yesterday. You want to mitigate and cut that into two and split it over two seasons and get him off the books. Otherwise, if Michael Penix Jr. can't go to start the season, you're going to have to go get one of those Jacoby Brissetts or Jimmy Garoppolo's or Gardner Minshew's or any one of those journeymans, which makes everybody's head explode because we've already been down this road with Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
Cousins, it's a very scary proposition potentially for 2026.
Cousins is under contract until 27, right? And if you – the idea was – and just to take you guys back, outside of the injury to Michael Penix, the idea was a lot of this was front-loaded for the first 3 years. Most of it has already been paid out. Everybody talks about this $100 million we owe Kirk Cousins. Most of that has already been paid out. The idea was, Mike, 3 seasons – that is what we thought we'd see him for. So the irony to all of this is he got 1 season, or at least 9 games of it. Then this year, right, coming off the injury, it's right. Penix who starts. And if, God forbid, we had to get to next season, he's still technically under contract. The problem is a lot of Falcon fans thought, well, he won't be here. What's it going to cost us to move on from him?
Right.
And the longer the contract went on, the less money, as cap hit-wise, it was going to take. But if you did it post-June 1, then you can break it up over the 2 years, and it right. costs you less each year, and it doesn't affect your cap as much. But with that said, this Penix injury, and here's the point that Mike's making. ACL tear in his right knee in 18 and 2020. Shoulder injuries in 19 and 2021. Now, those are different parts of your body.
this knee hasn't had to deal with this, but Michael Penix knows, Mike, what it takes to come back. But those are the injuries you're talking about, and now all of a sudden it just feels like, where do we go to have insurance to make sure that we have our butts covered
right
moving forward?
And I asked, and you'll hear the conversation with, you know, our coach. I said, you know, you're tied to the hip with the general manager. These guys could be gone next year. I think there's a very good chance both these guys will be gone. A new regime might look completely different at this and say, we'll take what we can get trading Michael Penix, where there's no market for him because no one knows what he is because he's only played 14 games and he's at times looked pretty bad. Guys, two parts of this conversation. We love Michael Penix Jr. We love talking to the guy. Any fan who's got a chance to interact with him, you know, from a human side, you feel for the kid because he was heartbroken after losing that game in Berlin. And he's coming back. He's got to team up by two touchdowns only to blow his knee out, and he's got to leave. And all that, everything you guys know with rehab. So that's one, that's the human side. The Falcons side of it is, you could have a general manager, new coach come in and say, the money side you pointed out earlier, they'll hold on to him.
Yeah,
because it's still cost effective, but he may never start another game for this team.
Well, look, whether it's this regime or some other regime, I have to feel like because he is under his rookie deal, you come back and you still see what he's got. You've got 12 starts this season. That's not enough. You give him an opportunity, just like you, especially with him being the eighth overall pick. This regime or the next, you give him an opportunity to see, even if you don't feel like, Mike, he's going to be the guy for you, because it is cost prohibitive to just move on from a guy in his rookie deal and you took him that high. That's not smart front office moves. So you see what it is. But that doesn't mean that you're not planning for the future. And that's where I think this team is going to be. And if he comes back, guys, and he's brilliant, then you don't have to worry about it. But if he doesn't, and you don't plan accordingly, and Mike, we just had this conversation about the end of Matt Ryan's career right. And how there was no forward vision and nobody wanted to take a chance to bring a guy in and have him ready for the next opportunity for this franchise. You can't think that way. We've seen teams, guys, in this day and age take quarterbacks, turn right back around, and take another quarterback.
Jordan Love is the famous one, which made no sense at the time, certainly not to Aaron Rodgers, and it certainly paid huge dividends because they've maintained their viability without Aaron Rodgers. The problem was Thomas Dimitroff, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school here, was trying to get himself back in the playoffs. He had 3 years. He gave Matt Ryan got a contract extension in the middle of an MVP-caliber year, 35 touchdowns, 7 picks, nearly 5,000 yards. Now, unfortunately, yes, at some point you should have had an heir apparent in there. Never did that. And then maybe 21 was the year, or 20 was the year to do that. But yeah, that was a good quarterback class. We did not. So now you find yourself, as we said, then you compound it by Arthur Blank or whoever saying, let's go get a play for Deshaun Watson. And all of a sudden Matt Ryan's now pissed off. I'm out of here. And you get nothing for him, just a third rounder. And then we get stuck with a gap year of Mariota, a horrible season with Ritter. Last year with Cousins, which nobody foresaw that whole scenario playing out, and every reason that you did the two quarterbacks is blown up in your face anyway.
Yeah, I'll say this, though. And again, I don't know which way this goes. I don't know how this plays out. It sucks right now for Michael Penix Jr., first and foremost. It sucks for Falcon fans because we really wanted to, not only this season, but go into the offseason feeling really confident.
No, he's the man.
About him being the guy, okay? And we're not going to get a chance to know that. Not with a 4-8 record and 12 starts. But Kirk Cousins was never going to be here for the long haul. Remember that. Regardless of what you think about it, he was going to be here 3 years, at the most four. And then this team was going to have to draft a quarterback anyway. So he was not going to be here a decade. And if he can help us from this point moving forward, I hope he can. I hope he plays well. I want to see how this offense looks. We asked Coach that question. You'll hear it coming up. But, Mike, that's the other side of this is – Kirk Cousins wasn't going to be your franchise quarterback for the next decade. He just wasn't.
But it's still the stupidest decision in the history of the NFL. The idea of, well, we'll never be picking this. Oh, you're picking this high again. You just don't have a pick. So, I'm sorry. I'll die on that hill with Fontenot. It made no sense to me on draft night. It makes no sense 2 years later. You go with Kirk Cousins. You spend the draft equity on some defense, and you go get a solid backup, you know, that you could trust if Kirk Cousins has an injury. But, no, you did the one thing Kirk Cousins thought he was coming to avoid. You drafted a quarterback. That's why he left Minnesota.
A solid backup. We're just talking about these guys that you just mentioned. None of these guys
I'm just talking
appealing.
About. I'm talking about last season. If you had a guy who would start some starts in the NFL, maybe Terry's – Raheem is going to say, Kirk, whatever you say, I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. I've got a guy I know I can trust who can give me a start for a week. Kirk's not threatened by him. Kirk exacerbates the injury by saying he's fine, hurts the team, we lose the four games in a row, and then boom, then we throw Penix to the Wolves. I mean, the whole thing, I know it's. I know we're going round and round in hindsight land here, but I just, I'll never understand why we did it. And when Fontenot gets fired, that's going to be part of his resume, the dumbest decision in the history of the NFL.
Well, look, the Cousins thing is what it is, and that's on his resume. I just think if this was Cousins, God forbid, who got injured on Sunday, guess what we're talking about today? Drafting a quarterback in the spring.
Right.
And you would have been doing it anyway, whether Penix was here or not. So that's the irony to this. If that was Cousins who was starting on Sunday and we had a 14-point lead.
But then don't bet on a quarterback with an injury history.
Well, Mike, but that can happen to anybody.
But
that can happen to anybody.
But there was, look, Bo Nix doesn't have that injury history. You know, J.J. McCarthy got injured as a rookie but didn't have an injury history. Nobody else on that, five quarterbacks had anything remotely like the file that Michael Penix had from his doctor.
No, look, it's what it is. It was in his file, and they, not that they ignored it, but they felt confident enough to still make the draft pick. That's the risk-reward you deal with. But that could happen to anybody. And that's the thing that sucks about this is Coach even said, hey, I felt like he was playing like it felt like we were about to take a turn. And then, you know, he's coming out of this thing, whatever we were all about to come out of, and then we end up losing anyway. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do against the Saints? That's the question. What is Michael Penix's recovery situation? The timeline right now is a little sketchy. And, guys, he was here today. He's not even under the knife right now. So this may not happen for a week. I don't know what that is going to look like, Mike. Maybe a while before he actually has this surgery. The sooner, though –
The better.
Because that starts the recovery process.
But we are going to be in a bit of a limbo.
We are.
And then, as I said to you earlier, then who's making these decisions? Because unless this team turns things around, I'm not sure where Arthur Blank goes in the offseason.
All right, stay there. Coach Ra, what did he say about all of this? We asked him specifically about the injury. He explains to the best of his knowledge what is going to happen with Michael Penix. You'll hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. We are live inside of the Ticketmaster studios. Each and every week, we get a chance to talk to our head coach, Raheem Morris. This is an interesting week, to say the least, because we now know the extent of our quarterback's injury, Michael Penix Jr. Coach, welcome in, first and foremost. We want to start there because Mike and I have been spending a lot of time on this. I want to ask you, as it's being reported, that Michael Penix needs reconstructive ACL surgery, despite it being a partial tear. Can you elaborate on this?
Sure. You never want to jump the gun on any of these things, you know, so you never really want to answer. It's kind of like when you slow play from the beginning before you get the second opinion and all those type of things. He has a partially torn ACL. You know, they're going to go in, they're going to take the ACL and repair the ACL, which means reconstructive surgery on the ACL injury. You know, the thing you do, these, the reason you do this is so you can avoid – worst injury possibly to the young man and do it in a timely fashion so he can be ready to go in a timely fashion as quickly as possible. And we feel great about it. We feel great about the decision from the doctors. We feel great about the decision from the second opinion and all the things that steps that you had to go through before you make those decisions and put it out there and tell people, because you want those things to be done the right way and you want to handle those things obviously with soft gloves. And the way we're doing it, with the expectations of getting Michael back even better and stronger and faster, and some of the things that he's already shown us from his 2020 knee injury on the other knee,
right,
and now what's happening with this one, and we got a lot of confidence that he can be able to bounce back and give us great play and give us great, you know, time off and be ready to come back, if that makes sense.
I mean, we talked about going back to the summer and just what a leader he is on the team. We talked about that scrap with the Titans. And, you know, I saw how he almost looked disconsolate talking to Dave Archer after the loss in Berlin because he, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve. And to be up 14 points in this game and he's 13 to 16, it just, I mean, we're all pulling for the kid, but he's got to be lower than low.
So right I now. Think last week was a big time week for him in his growth, in his maturity, in his development. You know, we came off the heartbreaking loss in Berlin and he was visibly shaken and upset. And he had a week of preparation where he's able to talk to all of us across the building in the organization about, you know, having a hands-on approach and how do you handle those things and how do you be more involved with our offense. And last week to watch him go and execute and to come in the offices and be able to sit down and talk to a bunch of different people about a bunch of different things and really grow. And then to watch it start to come to life in that first half. You know, he went down three times in a row, scored three straight touchdowns, came out in the second half, and unfortunately that's when the injury happened and wasn't able to return. But you felt like that was going to be a turning point for him, you know, and hopefully, obviously, with him, that would be our football team, right. you know, unfortunately, got hurt, you know, but like I don't want that growth and that development to get lost and lose sight of that. And for me, I was more just hurt for the kid. I was more hurt for him. I was more hurt for the experience that he has to go through and having to go through that again. But he is a tough dude, man. He is. He is meant for this. He's made for this. He'll bounce back, and he'll be ready to go. And we can't wait to get him back. But in the meantime, we got to go out there with Kirk Cousins and get a win.
Let's talk about Coach making plays. We look at these games, especially the last few, and literally we're a few plays away. I know it doesn't mean anything because we didn't win. But I got to ask you this because partly as we see this and we view this is you call a play, not you, but Zach. Let's just use as an example. The guy is open. You throw it to him. He misses the ball. Play's there to be had. We don't execute. And that gets back to, for many people, is that coaching or is that just players not making plays? And a lot of this has been, well, coaching is a part of that. And I'm just curious, how do you view that? Because it feels like for the last few weeks, that's kind of been our lot in life. Play's there to be made. We don't make it. But yet, it comes back to bite us. And a lot of people are wondering, like, what's the deal? Why are our guys not making those plays? It's football. But the other side of it is how much of it is coaching?
You know, you never point fingers in this game. So the coach is always going to say there's something you can do better, you know, timing, detail, discipline, whatever the case may be on the route concept, whatever it is. And the players never going to point the finger at the coach. They're always going to say they got to catch that ball. They can make that play. They can do those things. So, like, I think the whole thing is just the accountability of it all and all working together and be able to come together to make those plays. And like you just mentioned it, you know, we got a bunch of different opportunities out there with a bunch of different people and those things have to happen and you have to make those plays. And there's sometimes where the person that's taking the blame is absolutely right. And then there's other times he's not, but you got to have the love and the feeling that you want to have a way of helping every single person. And like, when I'm talking about our guys in place, I take all of that. Like, I got to be able to help those guys make those plays and get a chance to make them do it better. And why can we do it better? Giving them more reps, giving them more opportunities. How can you make those opportunities even better? Make it more competitive, make it as hard as you can possibly make it. And like, you're always going to wear it on your sleeve. And with whoever dropped the ball, whoever didn't make the play, they're always going to wear it on their sleeve. And I think that's the signs of, like, the people you want to be around, the kind of character that you bring in the building.
We're talking with Raheem Morris, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. And we've talked about this with you before, but for guys that are new to the show didn't hear it, your involvement on game day, you coach defense, you know secondary. When you're seeing a guy like Bryce Young just lighting us up, are you leaning in up Brick and the assistants going, hey, we got to – what's going on here? Are you giving input because you're seeing things going south?
So it was the tale of two halves, right? You came out and it wasn't lighting you up. You were actually doing a great job of shutting them down, keeping it calm, and then there was some explosive plays happens. And that was the game of explosive plays. Made a big play at the end of the half. We ended up holding the three. Big explosive play to get down and holding the three. You come back out in the second half and they make a couple explosive plays that shouldn't happen. And it's based on getting tired, discipline, some calls. It's the same thing we just talked about. Like, it's all over the place. So you can be able to talk about those things with them. And, like, we got, like, an accountable group. So, like, if it was a player's fault, that player was able to say it, communicate it right away. When it was a coach's fault or a bad call, there's no shock around that either. So, like, when we are on that side of the ball and you're fighting, you did see a couple of great plays. There were too many explosives given up to allow them to get that many yards passing down the field. I mean, the two big fourth down stops at the end of the game, in those crutch situations, we turned the ball over on a kickoff and they were able to go out there and get a four and out. I mean, there were some dynamic moments. So you can't say you were in the second half feeling desperate the whole time, but one too many big plays, particularly in the passing game, and that can't happen.
Coach, I'll be damned. We're second in sacks in the league. And it's something I know you heard when you got the job, and we talked about, oh, we got to get the quarterback. We got to get the quarterback. We're getting the quarterback. How frustrating is it to you to see that number and to see the guys and the effort, but yet we're not getting the results? Because that's something everybody wanted to see more of, and we're doing it.
It's time. And it's our time, and we got to go out there and get it done. And, like, I say this to you a million times. I've told you this a million times. Stats is for losers.
Not that one, Coach. We're second in sacks. Coach, we hadn't been second. But we hadn't been second in sacks in forever.
It is what it is. We need more wins.
Correct.
You know, we need more wins, and that's the stat that matters. And, like, we have to go get it done. And that's a nice stepping stone. That's a nice step that we've taken when it comes to those things. But we need better, and we have to have better across the board.
Well, what do you think's missing there, Coach? I mean, like, the sacks are not – a lot of people think that translates to what you're talking about, wins, right? You're getting more sacks, you're getting off the field, all the things. You're getting off the field on third down. What's missing there, in your opinion?
You got to make the moment. You got to play the play at the moment. We just talked about the big explosive plays, and, like, if you take away one of those big explosive plays or two of them, you're talking about a different result. And, like, you don't know which play it's going to be, but that's how our game is played. That's what the game is every single week.
Would you have a conversation? I know it was a private conversation with Arthur Blank, and we have not heard from Mr. Blank on this season yet. But, I mean, this is something we talked about a few weeks ago with you, and I said, why don't you yell at some of these guys? You said, that's not your style. But do you feel there's some bad habits are creeping in when it comes to execution? Have you ever felt the need to maybe pull somebody, sit them, send a message to the team? Is that just not, you don't feel it's worth that smoke, or that's just not your style?
We pulled a bunch of people, you know. We've set a bunch of people. You know, we've done all those things. You know, we're just not the ones that openly tell you about it. You know, like, if you creatively find out what happened and you're able to get into the deep weeds of how you go about your business and how you go out there and you make those changes, because everybody's going to be needed. There's different areas of the football field where people got to play, and it's going to be done in the most respectful fashion, in my opinion, because we got to go out there and we're going to need everybody at some point. These things happen across the board every single day, and these things have to be handled with straight, open conversations. And, like, you know, where communication lacks, you know, that's where negativity fills the void. And, like, there's not a guy in the building that can tell you that they don't know exactly where they stand on a daily basis and how we're going to go about our business and how we're going to try to plan to win.
So why are these guys clutch?
You know, that's what you got to have. You know, you got to make those plays. You got to be clutch. You got to have those moments. You know, like, you're not saying anything that's not the truth. You know, that hadn't happened in the last couple of weeks. You know, we could talk about all the plays where in the last 3 weeks where we could have won the football game if we make them. You know, we have to make those plays. And, like, that's got to happen. We need those plays to be made.
Coach, how does this offense look different with Kirk back as a starter? When I say that, more play action, more of him under center, less pistol? I don't know. I'm asking from that standpoint. Does it look that much different?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
Right? So, like, you got to do all those things that he's done well in his past. You got to do all those things that you know he's capable of doing. And, like, he's been up under center quarterback for most of his career. He's done some things in the pistols, obviously, with us. Obviously, when he's under the center, he can have opens up play action for him that way. He's been of a keeper guy. But you want to do some things that he can do and some things that he's going to do well, right? And, like, we can do all of those things with him. And, like, we'll go out there. What he's done really well for us since he's been here when he got us to a 6-3 record is he was peppering completions all over the field, pepper him to a point of a record. And, like, he can go out there and win in a bunch of different ways, but, like, we got to go out there and cater to him and do what he does best, and our football team's ready to do that.
How's the receiver core? How's Mooney? I mean, who's the next man up? Because we know Drake is likely not going to go at all, maybe 2 weeks for Drake.
You know, obviously, we need Mooney. You know, we need Mooney to go out there and make some plays for us, need him to go out there and do a bunch of different things for us in order to win. You know, obviously, David Seals has stepped up for us in a big way, not just with all the receptions, but really with all the things he's able to do and move around and get some of the blocking things going on. So he'll be called upon with Drake being out and doing all those type of things for us. And then, obviously, Bijan is always – he's called on to do everything, right? So he'll be called on to do some of those things in Kyle Pitts. You know, Kyle Pitts has to step back up and do a bunch of major part of his job, and we'll expect those guys to do those things. We got playmakers across the board and Ty Lajere and a bunch of different guys that can go out there and make plays for us, and we'll call some other people on. And like we just talked about, there'll be people that have to be called up to make those plays, and people that have to be called up and be put in those clutch situations. You got to be clutch.
With the injuries, will you rely or lean on Bijan more?
You know, you always lean on Bijan. So it's hard to say you're going to lean on him more, you know, but you definitely want to go out there and figure out how to get him the ball, get him his touches. That's always going to be first and foremost in the game plans.
Right.
And then other than that is how do you complement that with Tyler, and then how do you get the ball to all your playmakers down the field and to be able to create some of those explosives, because those explosives really have to get down the field. Like, you know, the thing that we've cleaned up the biggest in the last 3 weeks is our red zone offense and being able to score touchdowns. I think we were 6 of 6 or whatever it's been, and you got to get down there more. So, like, let's find a way to do those things. We were close on third down last week before Mike went out until we hit skid row in the second half kind of with the third downs. But, like, you know, we had the ability to go out there and clean up some of that stuff and, like, let's go show it again and get this win.
5 or 6 plays every game. You've talked about it. Arch has talked. We've talked about it. If we can get those plays, and that's – it gets back to – by the way, have you talked with Terry – what's your conversation with Terry Fontenot? Because the perception is you guys are attached at the hip and things have to improve.
I was going to ask which one. you know, Terry and I definitely communicated at a very high level about everything. You know, we communicate about all the things that's happening. You know, right now, obviously, the big conversation this week has been the quarterback. Obviously, the big conversation has been, you know, how are we going to take care of the quarterback? You know, what's going to be the plans moving forward with the quarterback when he comes back? Because he's going to come back strong, and, you know, how we want to make sure he's still developing throughout the whole process. You know, obviously, there's going to be some downtime there. But obviously, you know, how do we keep that ship rolling with the quarterback being out? And not talking about just the Kirk Cousins things. Obviously, that's the obvious part for him. But how are we going to maintain Michael staying sharp, Michael being well in tune with everything. So the communication with him, communication with his agent, all the people that are involved, you know, all the doctors that are involved in those things. So that's been a major thing that we've obviously talked about the last couple of days. So, but there's not a thing we don't talk about. So you can pretty much chalk that for everything.
A few more questions, Coach, before we let you go about New Orleans. Before we get to that 5-game losing streak, what's it like in the building, and what do you expect to learn about your team?
You know, I don't. There is a 5-game losing streak. But you wouldn't know walking through the building because, you know, it's just a bunch of guys that are accountable that are not allowed to happen. And that's coaches and players alike, you know, and the people in the building. You know, this is not that type of place. You know, this building is built on, you know, tough, you know, people first mentality. And that comes all the way from the top. So, like, when we get a chance to go out there and participate in the practice field or participate in the game, like, it's going to be everything that we got all for each other. And I think that's a major part of how this building works.
You know, we don't like New Orleans. You know this rivalry well. Doesn't matter what our record is, what their record is. Your expectations heading into Sunday with the team that, you know, again, records don't matter, right? They're going to show up and they're going to play us hard. What do you think about this New Orleans team and what you've seen so far on tape?
You know, obviously we don't like them, like you just said. I mean, that's there's no secret there. A bunch of people you respect.
Sure.
You know, obviously, just based on everything they've done, done a nice job with the new coaching staff. They've been able to go out there and really build things the right way and get guys going on. And, you know, the young quarterback is playing well or getting better, I should say, and that's a big process of it as well. The defense got some savvy vets on it that's been out there, and they're being coached by Brandon Staley, so we know that defense well, and some of the people over there coaching that defense got respect for those guys. They're going to come in and want to play. We're going to go there, and we got to play. And we don't like them, and it's no secret.
Hey, you get a bounce. Is Divine Diablo, can we expect to see him on Sunday?
Back, man. Let's go.
Oh, good to hear.
Divine Diablo.
Yeah, you guys are slipping, man.
Oh, man. We've been waiting for a minute.
Our energy's a little low right now.
We've been waiting for a minute. Look, man, this Penix thing, you know the deal. I mean, we're just all working through it.
I hate it for the kid.
Yeah, man, tell me about it. Yeah,
you know, everything else.
He said, tell me about it.
You hate it for the kid. That's awesome.
I hate it for
the kid. I feel bad for you.
He's a great kid.
Raheem Morris.
Well, we feel bad for you. Go get a dub.
Appreciate you. Stuff from Coach Ra. Guys, we're going to let you hear from quarterback Kirk Cousins when we come back live here at Flowery Branch. Stay tuned. He did speak to the media today, and we're going to let you hear a little bit of that here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Mike, after hearing Coach and, you know, trying to explain what's going on with Michael Penix and what the surgery is going to look like, a lot of guys hitting us up saying Duke Simpel, we're probably going to have to look in the draft, maybe in the later rounds. Well, we don't have a choice because we don't have a first-round pick. I don't even know if that's in the offering, guys, to be honest. We're so far away from that. All I'm saying is these are all things that are going to have to be looked at. And Mike continues to say, and he's not wrong, who's going to be looking at him? That's part of this.
Who's evaluating?
Who's evaluating this stuff? So what we need to focus on, and hopefully, you know, again, is the Saints and see where this goes. And Kirk Cousins, man, and again, he is under contract. I know nobody wants to talk about it, but I don't know what that's going to look like, Mike, because, again, financially, we've all thought that the smart play was to probably move on from him after this year.
Yeah, 2 years and gone, right. But yeah. Kirk did speak with the media today because he is now the starting quarterback. And as we said, the sense of irony not lost on Wes. And we talked about it yesterday, going back to the scene of the crime. We were looking really good, 6-3, and then the wheels came off. It all started when Kirk got hit down in New Orleans.
So the irony of this question is, how do you feel? We haven't seen him since he started a few weeks back.
Right.
It wasn't great. He came into the media room today. I just want you to hear this because he was asked, hey, how do you feel?
I feel good. I think Led doesn't believe me much when I say that. We have a past history there. But I do feel good, you know, and I would never tell you if I wasn't probably until the season's over.
I wouldn't tell you, and the joke there, guys, is, remember, it was a clerical era when he was asked, hey, you were on the injury report. No. So he is
I'm
now.
Good. I'm good. That was a bit of a clerical error.
Yeah. So he is now, Mike.
Like a year ago today.
Really. Right. Hindsight, right, and laughing and joking about it, basically saying, I'm over it. I hope you guys are. Hardy har har. Let's have some fun. I'm joking about this. He talks about Led. He's talking about our buddy D Led from the AJC.
Thanks, Kirk. So basically, you lied to us last year. Then you lied at the Super Bowl. Said you weren't hurt when you said you weren't hurt.
That's not what happened.
So which is it?
That's
then
not
you,
what happened.
Then you had me escorted from the event in New Orleans. I was asking pointed questions.
That's true.
So
that's why he says Led and I having this thing.
Right. Look, I like Kirk's a hard guy to root against, you know. But because you did, as I said to you at the top of the hour, because they did something he wasn't anticipating, it triggered a survival mechanism, which then prevented him from being truthful with the coach or truthfully honest with the media about his status, because he felt like if, you know, with a hot young quarterback over my shoulder, I may need to get back on the field. And we needed probably a 2 or 3 week break for Cousins to maybe get right, and he just got worse. And by the time we played the Raiders, we could barely get the ball down. We nearly lost to Desmond Ridder in that game. Eventually, coach had to pull the plug on him.
I'm not rooting against him.
He's my guy.
He's the starting quarterback for our team.
If you're a Falcon fan, he's your guy now too.
Yeah, I'm not rooting against him. I need him to play well, but you gotta heal and mend some wounds here, right? And the way you do that is you go out and you play well and hopefully lead us to a victory. And maybe this is a jumping off point. It's just hard to believe. And look, Divine Diablo, Mike mentioned it at the end of the interview with Coach. It's a big deal, okay? Him coming back is certainly going to help our defense. We have been during this losing streak, guys. And, Mike, I want to say he got hurt. Was it the Buffalo game? I have to go back and look. But since he's been out, teams have definitely taken advantage of Divine Diablo's absence. There's been no doubt about it.
No, we talked about, you know, and that gets back to the coaching staff and the stubbornness, not willing. I mean, I'd rather see a safety in there and take your lumps in the run game than have JT Bertrand getting burned for like 25 and 50 yards after the catch. They were running quick hits. They were running slants, crossing routes. And it was just blowing up, and we had no recourse, and we talked about it with Coach, and, you know, and he said, you know, basically that was the best available piece because the other guys, and we later found out D'Angelo Malone wasn't 100% either.
No.
So, yeah, Divine Diablo was picked up because they screwed up the Troy Anderson pick, who's been an absolute disaster and will never play another down for us in all likelihood. So now we got Divine, and Divine has been, as you said, man, he's been awesome. has been a revelation for Falcon fans. But, man, it's a little too late. A little too late. Could have used him in Berlin.
Oh, big time. Big time. So, hopefully, you know, again, from the defensive standpoint, he helps us. But we are going to break down this game as we continue to move through the week.
It's bad Saints team, brother.
With New Orleans. Oh, it's terrible. They're a terrible team. I don't care how bad it looks for us. This is still a game we should win. I don't care who's playing. I don't care how many guys are out. I'm just telling you, that's how bad it is for the Saints. Guys, Kamara looks like a shell of himself.
One rushing touchdown. Oh, that's all he's got. You know, Chris Olave is certainly a weapon. I think like this, they're the 31st team that Brandon Cooks has been on. They cut him loose.
Well, their defensive stars are old. We said this going into the season.
But Cam Jordan will still get it together for us.
Well, he'll give you a couple of plays. You're right. Because he likes to embarrass our offensive line when he gets an opportunity. But, yeah, I just feel like where they are, and as bad as it may look for us, and I know you guys are like, yeah, whatever. I'm not telling you it's going to be an easy cakewalk because the Saints always play as well. And, look, they want to add salt to this wound. Right. They know what's going on with us.
It's their Super Bowl. You know the Saints fans. That's all they live for is their little brother's feelings about us here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But they got the ring, and the ring is the thing. Those knuckleheads, as broke as they are down there, they even hired a plane to fly above our stadium.
They did do
28-3.
No, they absolutely did that. Totally insulting. Hey, man, tomorrow on the show, first of all, where are we going
to
be?
That's money you can spend on a megabus to get back home.
Where are we going to be tomorrow, Mike?
What? It's True Date, hey? Zucca Bar Pizzeria, fantastic spot, great food. Carl's already laughing because I've already ordered half the menu, so I'm going to be in a food coma by about 4 o'clock.
Well, dude, you're like pasta.
Oh, their mussels are fantastic.
Mussels.
Calamari. They got great chicken parm, great pizzas.
What is this, a buffet you're going to have on the table?
Bottle of red, bottle of whites.
What is this, a song?
Do anything you like. Yeah, man, we're going to have some fun at our Italian restaurant. That's tomorrow with Miller
Lite. Bottle of whites.
2-6, Atlanta Road in Smyrna Vinings. Come on down, man. A lot of guys already hitting us up on Twitter said they're going to be there.
Oh, I'm glad. I hope so, man. Come hang out with us. We'd love to check out you guys and get a chance to meet you. If we haven't already, but even if we have, we'd love to see our listeners out there hanging out with us. All right. Also tomorrow on the show, Day-Day, real quick, what do we got coming up tomorrow on the program, brother?
Oh, man, great show. Obviously, we got the great Barbara Dooley joining us to talk dog.
Can't
as well
wait.
As Mike Griffith. And Stuart Mandel will join us to talk a little college football because we're getting down to the nitty-gritty.
We are. And you know what, Mike? Today was so busy up here at Flowery, we didn't really dive in as hard as we wanted to with the college football. We'll do it tomorrow with Stuart, but also we'll talk more about where the dogs sit. Guys, they are literally sitting pretty.
Hey, they're in a great spot. The big debate, and we will talk more about it too with Mike Griffith, do you want to play in the SEC championship? You know Kirby wants to win the SEC championship.
For sure.
And the players, I mean, is it better for Georgia to go in and have a full tilt boogie with somebody or, you know, and then maybe risk having to go play on campus? Or would you rather just have that bye week? You know, that's the thing, because right now, man, I could make the argument it may be better for Georgia to not be in the SEC championship, but I know Kirby feels likewise.
All right, man.
Does it feel that way, I should say.
Big O, Turtle got a full show tonight.
Yeah, 4-4. But before we get to that, the funny thing about that Kirk Cousins and D-Led thing was the fact that D-Led found out about the event and it was ping pong, and he got dressed up to go watch Kirk at a ping pong event.
You did.
So I would be mad about that, too, if
and
I got all dressed
wasn't
up.
Wasn't it reported that Kirk took off his Falcon jersey?
He covered up his Falcon shirt and put on like just a random black shirt. But yeah.
You know what Kirk's saying right now on his way home? Why y'all bringing up old stuff?
Had D-Led out there, man, his wingtips, man, his
hey,
slacks.
Kirk, now, why y'all bringing up old stuff?
D-Led was like, he was bouncing around New Orleans like Mike Wallace, man. Like, Kirk, are you now? Have you ever been injured and falsified an injury report? Answer the question.
Oh, my
man,
goodness.
Man, got all dressed up and then nothing happened.
No. D-Led, we with you, man. All right, we're back at you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Investigative journalism, Carl and Mike.
We got to get out of the way and clear our throat. Thanks to Coach Ra. Thanks to our man Jalen Walker. Dude, every time we see him and hear him, we're impressed. And he's playing really well for our Falcons, Mike. Bright future for that young man. I hope he continues to ball out. He's the reason why we're second.
He's an impressive dude.
In sacks. Don't want to even talk about it because we can't enjoy it. It's unbelievable. All right. Big shout out to O back at the studio. Day-Day, obviously, being here with us tomorrow again. Zucco, guys, in Smyrna. Come on through. We'd love to get a chance to meet you. All right, Mike, we got to get out of the way, man. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, a guy that I got to watch as a kid, and I got his autograph. I was talking to my buddy Big Tommy about this today. Randy Jones passed away. Cy Young Award winner, 1976.
Wow.
One of the first Padres, other than maybe Dave Winfield, who got some national coverage. Now, it's so funny. We live in a day and age where if you don't throw 95, you don't even get close to the show. This guy's top speed was 80 miles an hour. His joke back then was, I drive the speed limit, I pitch the speed limit. 55. He put together two of the greatest seasons in MLB, 20 wins, then 22, won the Cy Young Award, and then basically kind of had some arm injuries and drifted away. But I will say this, Carl, in an era where speed didn't matter, you won with guile, this guy had 73 complete games. Anyway, got to meet him when I was a kid. Randy Jones, rest in peace.
The audacity of some of these coaches. I'm talking to you, Sark. You didn't need to put out a statement to say you're not going anywhere. Give me a break. Where are you going? You started the season number one. You've lost three games and got embarrassed in Athens. Who's coming for you? You don't have to put out a statement to say, I'm not leaving Texas. Of course not. You're stealing money. You're making over $10 million a year, and you're not winning a damn thing.
You sound jealous and bitter.
All right, maybe this is personal. But at the end of the day, I don't want to hear about you saying, I'm not going anywhere. I don't know where these rumors are coming from. How about you win some important games? Hey, if you love the show.
You tell your friend.
If you don't.
You're an Ole Miss fan. You're worried about Lane Kiffin.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.